7:30, calling to order the August 12th meeting of the Collinsville Historic District Commission. Present, Lori Elkins, Maureen, Don Tarnelli, Kent McCoy, Jerry Waters, and Steve Viette.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't met all summer.
All right. I know that Jim and Janet aren't going to be here, so I guess we have a quorum anyhow. If somebody wants to be a regular member, you can volunteer or not.
I'll be a regular member.
All right. Jerry's the fifth regular member. We have minutes, call to order, roll call. We have general public here. Dennis, I didn't get your last name.
Marolda.
Can you spell that? Just so that
M-A-R-O-L-D-A.
That's how I would have spelled it. And he's representing Main Street, Canton.
Canton Main Street.
And he wants to talk about putting a covering over the band pedestal.
Oh, the slab, as we
call it. Slab.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that makes it sound pretty nice. Band pedestal.
Okay. Go. All right. I'll try to put together the history of this concept. Jeffrey Schlichter, I guess, was interested in putting a covering like a pavilion over the slab there in Collinsville. In case you don't know, and I'm sure you probably do, that we have a lot of musical events down there, including every Saturday night we have concerts, very well attended, and Farmers Market every Sunday morning, also very well attended. And we've got this nice little stage there, right out in the blazing sun, no covering, nothing. And it would be really wonderful to have some kind of little shelter for that. Now, Jeffrey came up with an amazing plan of a pavilion to be built there. And this kind of thing.
I have some copies of it because
it
didn't print out right, so part of it's cut off.
And you know, he talked to the folks in town, at the board of selectmen, I guess, and you know, they thought, oh yeah, wonderful. But I think the thing is, they don't have any money to fund it. Oh yeah, it's wonderful. No money to fund it. And this project, as conceived, I mean, I'm just going to guess at the top of my head, what are we talking, $40,000,
$50,000?
Yeah.
Could be, yeah.
Just for disclosure, and if I have to do this, I did this drawing as a Saturday morning project.
Well, thank you.
And there's the different elevations are just studies. Since I had to draw every side, it made them a little different. So
different elevation. Oh, different elevations for the
look of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one that's a cut through on the upper left.
Okay.
And then the other ones are all slightly different.
Okay.
And I wouldn't worry too much about that because
where
I'm getting at is not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, it was a wonderful concept, and it would be amazing if we had, you know, $50,000 to put into it, and you know, at some point, I think Jeffrey just said, you know, this is not happening, and he kind of gave up on the project, and he handed me his folder, and I looked at all the paperwork and everything, and I'm like, well, that's a little intimidating for me. But my idea that I'd like to propose is just a simple little pavilion that's cost under $3,000. And it wouldn't be installed, it would just be basically, yeah, it just sits on the slab, just like that. I'll just show it around. If it's okay with you folks, then I guess my next step is I just talk to the town about it. And
did you get a bigger one, or that one?
It's a 12 by 16.
Yeah.
12 by 16. And, you know, if it's okay with you, and I talk to I'll talk to the town and it's okay with them. Canton Main Street will come up with the funds. I'll figure out the assembly and put it up there. But the main thing to keep in mind is it's not a permanent structure. It's not nailed down. It's set up. It's not going to be there for 50 years. You know, maybe it has a life of 5 years or something. But as opposed to setting up a little pop-up, you know, it's kind of a compromise. But I think it would, you know, as being one of the musicians that play down there, I also schedule all the music acts for the farmers market and for the Canton Main Street, the Music on Main series. It would be really wonderful to have that. And like I said, if it's okay with you folks and it's okay with the town, I will take care of everything.
And what did you say the cost of that pavilion is?
This is $27.99. So.
$2,799?
Yeah. Wow. We're talking about $3,000 investment.
Yeah. And it sits like a table on the slab. It's not attached
in
any way.
Yeah, exactly. It's not attached.
How much does it weigh? Could it blow away?
Yeah, it will have to be attached.
It's got pretty significant timbers, and I don't believe it's designed to be attached in any way.
I mean, it looks nice. We get really windy though here in the wintertime.
Yeah. I was going to say the intent is to leave it there all year, not take it and put it someplace in a garage or something.
I suppose it could be disassembled and put away for the winter. But, you know, we see this as a year-round benefit, not necessarily just for the summer concerts.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, even in the winter, you want to sit out in the rain and listen to it hit the tin roof. You know, it has cedar timbers going up, the main supports. It's got a metal roof.
And it's 12 feet by 16?
Yep.
And the size of the slab is what?
20 by 20.
20 by
20. 26 by 20 foot 6 inches by 20 foot 6 inches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think, isn't that considered a place of assembly?
There was a meeting with Jeff, Kathy Taylor, myself, the fire marshal, the building official, Neil.
Okay.
And the fire marshal's like, no problem.
Well, it's a building code issue. If it does fit in the place of a place of a set, what happens with a pavilion?
That's
like
how
this?
It would fit on there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What happens with a public pavilion like this is if a storm comes, everybody goes there. So it's we've had this issue in Burlington when they wanted to put up a pavilion on the playground. You know, deck the contract. It's just a pavilion. Yeah, but all the kids are going to go there if there's a storm. And so it's, by code, it's a place of assembly. So now it just has to be certified to be able to withstand winds, basically. So it would have to be secured down and anchored somehow, and somebody would have to take a look at it to make sure that it does meet the wind loads and stuff. Because that's where everybody's going to go. If it starts raining and windy and stuff, that's it. So anchoring it down is pennies, really not a big deal. Getting an engineer to take a look, maybe whoever you're buying it from can tell you whether it'll meet the Connecticut building codes. That would be, at least I think a 20 by 20 would still be, I'm pretty sure that would still be considered a place of
assembly. Pavilion itself is 12 by 16.
Oh, 12 by
the
16.
The slab is 20 by 20.
Oh, I'm sorry, 12 by 16. I'd have to take a look.
Yeah, it still would have to be anchored down. And actually, Simpson makes an architectural anchor that's quite attractive and has concealed fasteners. Mm-hmm. So it would be a matter of drilling holes and bolting it down and bolting it to that.
Okay.
And actually, if you remember, things like this can disappear, so you may want it bolted down because the trees disappear.
Yeah.
So.
And have you run it by the building department, by Rand?
No, I'm starting with you folks.
Okay, yep.
And the next call is Mr. paid?
Neil, the town planner, and then Rand Stanley.
Yeah. So any further comments from here? I mean, as far as, yes, go ahead.
I have one, and it's got, to me, things that are new, you know, especially something like this, there's nothing in town like it, you know, it should be up to date. Uh-huh. I'm thinking like a tensile structure almost, something like a tent. Now, and I don't mean like a pup tent, I mean, you know,
like a moss tent.
Bright yellow or something, you know, something that doesn't interfere with the architecture of downtown, it's something, because it's so completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, why make it a pavilion that you could have in your backyard or something when it's really a public space? You know, I would rather, that's my feeling on it. It's just, then it can come down during the winter, but it could stay up sometimes, you know. And it really, to me, it like sets that space off. I mean, it could be really very nice as the center focal point of Collinsville again.
Yeah.
You know, instead of a shed roof with shingles on it and cedar and that kind of stuff.
Those of us who are not architects, I can't envision what you're talking about. So pictures would be the...
You know, there.
Yeah.
Let me pull one up here.
I don't know, but
no, I have no idea.
And
well, I like the idea of making it look really nice because it does get a lot of people and it's very popular.
I think they're getting back to is this, which is wonderful, but unfeasible, undoable.
Well, no, not no. bad, really. No. See, these are tensile structures.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's beautiful.
Well, it depends. It depends on how you look at that corner. Mm-hmm. If that corner wants to be
Colonial.
The same fabric as the rest of the town, I mean, yeah, it's fine. But if you want to do something, these are tensile structures.
Yeah.
If you want to do something a little more
different, kind of a mixture of
it's up to date. It's modern. It's there's nothing else like it in town. And then
it's
that,
sculptural.
Like that really
it's artistic.
It would really set that corner off.
Yeah, I mean, I had that same intuition about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of Collinsville's front porch in a way, and to do something more interesting and contemporary. Now, I have no idea what a tensile structure tent costs. It might be three times what your budget is.
I don't know whether it would give us the shelter. I mean, that looks more decorative than...
Oh, no, they won't give you shelter from rain and sun.
Oh, okay. It's definitely shade.
Yeah. No, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Abu Dhabi airport is tensile structures, so they use it there.
Oh.
What's nice about it is that you can contact the people that build some of these, and they can give you an estimate, and they actually do the design on it because it's their product, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's way beyond what I'm envisioning and proposing. And I just don't see anything like that happening.
What are the costs of those kinds of things, Jerry?
That I don't know.
Well, we've got an architect.
It depends.
Right.
What do you think?
Right.
I have no. Actually, all three of us are architects. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done one in a long time.
It probably would be more than what you're showing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're right, that a good tensile structure tent is going to cost over $3,000.
I would say probably five to seven, but that's based on nothing more than throwing a number in the air. Yeah.
Mm. That's still not too bad, considering the difference in the look.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, and... You could use it other places, right?
You
can take them down? No, they're kind of...
You can take the fabric down, but the poles and
oh,
the cables
right. okay.
and stuff,
forget
they're all
it.
Kind
forget
of
it. All right.
usually
forget
fixed
it.
In place.
Yeah. So what do they usually do, take the fabric down in the winter? You were talking
you
about
can take the fabric down. You can leave it up.
You can leave it up.
You can leave it
skating
up.
Skating pavilions sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Of course, the longer it's exposed to the weather... Shorter the lifespan is going to be.
Yeah, and you replace them. I mean, they're not built forever.
Yeah.
Nothing's last forever, but I just would like to see
something different. You know, I think it's an opportunity, actually, to have something to I think it'd be great to have something like that there.
Yeah.
My personal opinion.
What is your time frame, Dennis? What's you?
Soon as possible, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you're still using Canvas sometimes. I mean, I know I sometimes when I walk down there, you've got a Canvas thing over
like
the
little pop-up.
Generally, whoever's playing there, they bring their own or they don't. You know, if, especially if you're playing at the farmer's market, you're right in the morning sun.
Right. Mm.
So most of the musicians will bring their own. Now, I was there once, and a musician didn't have it, and Bob went over and got one, brought it over. So I think the farmer's market folks do have one, and they have provided it on occasion, but usually it's bring your own pop-up.
I wonder if I agree with Jerry that it's an opportunity because it's like the town's front porch. It's where everybody gathers, like you said, for farmers market, for concerts, whatever. To make it a little more special, if it's affordable, I understand. If it's not affordable, it's a no go. But maybe if you would allow us as a commission to do a little research on what an equivalent tensile structure tent would cost, send you the data on it, and then see where we go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Another thought I had, you know, since I was involved in this one, and obviously you have immediate needs, is if it's temporary, you know, maybe what you're talking about, I was actually pretty impressed when I saw it. I was expecting to see something not
stopgap.
So, maybe you get like 3 years and then actually something more upscale could be set and fundraised for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, there's so many people down there on Saturdays and at the farmer's market. I would assume you'd get some, you know, people would donate. I think it's a good cause because people spend a lot of time down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it would be neat.
Well, and even just people getting ice cream and hanging out, and you know, there's another place to sit.
Because even if you're getting ice cream, you got a place to sit in the shade, and you don't have
right. Because people are down there at lunch too all the time, eating out. So it's kind of too bad that it's so late in the year because, you know, if you were starting this in like June, you'd have all summer to sort of fundraise for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you think Canton Main Street is going to pay for
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's, you know, the reasonable number that we're talking about. Right. I mean, as a matter of fact, that's the 12 by 16. There's a 12 by 14, which is like $2,200. And even that would be way better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're thinking of it as a temporary thing while we long-term work on something more artistic or whatever, then that could be a stopgap.
Mm. And so you don't have a formal application before us? This is just
just called me yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just running it. I mean, I'm kind of where Jeffrey Schlichter was at, like, if this is going to be a nightmare of paperwork, then forget it, I'm out.
Uh-huh.
If it's simple, if you just guys say go for it, and I just make the arrangements and put it up, then, you know, then I'm all in for it.
Yeah, and who would actually install it?
Well, I would probably get some volunteers. And, I mean, even I talked to Bill Velasquez, and he said the town might even.
So I'm wondering if DPW,
even, you know, their public works would help with that, or even I also volunteer with the Canton Land Trust, and a lot of the guys that we volunteer all the time, these guys are gung ho ready for, you know. I don't think I would have a problem getting some volunteers at the assembly.
Well, My feeling is I don't think we do want to throw a monkey wrench in your way, because I think it's important. At the same time, if you could give us a week to mm-hmm. show you some alternatives,
well, certainly,
and we'll pass them around the commission mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. find out what costs are,
okay,
and then just decide based on that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sounds great.
Yeah, in any event, for the next meeting, you can do a formal application, or mm-hmm. if, I guess you'd have to talk to you. To Neil and Rand and all, you know, get those people. I mean, we went through a preliminary talk and there were no red flags with anything. The fire marshal was there. So, I don't, this is a fairly positive feedback from us, I would say.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right, well, thank you. I look forward to hearing what you come
up with. Sure.
Yeah. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
We'll stay in touch.
Okay. Well, thanks for hearing me out.
Thanks for putting your time into it that you have.
Yeah. You're welcome. It's important. Good.
Yeah.
It's good to have something improve. Down there, but it gets nasty sometimes in the heat, you know.
Yeah.
It's a hot
this spot. Year has been hot, too. I mean, last summer was hot this year.
Yeah.
And a lot of events end up getting canceled that wouldn't have to be canceled because we leave it up to the musicians to make the call. Are you going to set up all your thousands of dollars worth of equipment out there when there's a storm cell going through and we don't know if it's going to hit here or in Torrington or, you know. So a lot of times things get called. If they had a shelter to sit where they could set up under, and if a cell did go through, it's not a disaster for them.
Right.
A lot of events would end up happening that end up not happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, thank you
for your time.
Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Believe it or not, there's a second advisory application or matter. I have to recuse myself.
Because it's you?
It's me.
Oh.
For the past 15 years, I've stored a motorcycle in a red barn on Johnson Place.
Oh, you should just get rid of it.
Yeah. The barn?
The motorcycle.
Anyhow, here's some pictures to share. And I can't do that anymore. And the motorcycle is now actually new, and it's under a cover. There's a picture of it.
Yeah.
And it is possible to get a shelter fabric cover, which would be temporary, but it would be sort of permanent. And
so this is the current one, and this is the proposed. They sort of look alike.
The current one is actually just a cover that's sitting on the motorcycle.
Okay.
The proposed one actually has a frame that lifts it up off the motorcycle, so if it rains like for 2 days, there's an airspace, because the current cover, it'll soak through. Mm. And there's a lot of computers in the thing.
Because it's not really a permanent structure, do we need to even
probably not, consider? But that's because I'm on this commission in this position.
Okay.
I want to make, I mean, that would be my, I don't want to sway anything, but.
Yeah, and it's not very large. I mean, it's just,
No, I mean, they have like little cheap metal things.
I see
that
the
look
little
like
metal
sheds.
Things here, but that's not.
No, but you know, like backyard sheds, and I have no interest in that. Right. I mean, that.
But
to
this,
me, that,
this is just sits on the pavement here. Is that what you're talking about?
Or yeah.
You put them in the backyard.
Well, I can't get to the backyard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a 50-by-100-foot lot with 5 retaining walls.
Do you have
walls.
A neighbor that'll let you back there?
Huh?
Don't you have a neighbor that'll let you back there?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
I think the other thing, you know, about Don's driveway is it's depressed into the grade, so that thing will be.
If it's there now, I've never even seen it, and I drive by your house
there now.
Like every.
The
motorcycle's been there for like 8 days.
Mm. Oh, I've never even seen it.
Yeah.
So. I would doubt we even need to. I don't know how anyone else does.
But
you know, if you're feeling compelled to have some sort of advice because of your position as the chair, my opinion is that it would be appropriate as a temporary structure in that location would be absolutely appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, actually, at some point, there's another borderline thing, and Neil said that typically in those cases, if he finds out about it, he would contact the chairman, and the chairman would make a call and would avoid all this.
Oh, but okay.
So as chairman, I would make a call that this is a temporary thing, but
that would be
there's a conflict of interest.
Okay.
You know, I'm wondering, though, should we put a size on it? Because if somebody else comes along and says, yeah, well, I want to put up a temporary shelter for my car, you know.
Well, I've seen those, and I've seen, you know, covers for trailers and stuff. Yeah. I suppose that's a good point, though.
Yeah.
Or when you take my free boat.
Don storage facility. I got a couple of boats you could have over there, too. I just wonder if we should give it a footprint size. You know,
temporary shelter that's
3 feet by 5 feet. So nobody comes in and says, well, I just want a temporary shelter for my boat. And it's 24 feet long, and it's 10 feet wide, and it's, you know, 30 to 18 feet high or something. You know? Then you've already approved temporary shelters with no exceptions or no clarifications.
Yeah, so does that require a full application then? I mean, I'm just trying to... Well,
yeah, I wouldn't think so. I mean, just maybe we could just add that to the notes. The proposed structure is what, about 3x6? Something like that?
Maybe 4x8? I don't know. Okay. I mean, it's got to be big enough to fit the motorcycle in.
Yeah.
Your bike's not 8 feet long, is it?
It's an adventure bike. No, it's...
Okay. Well, 4x8. Okay. So we're comfortable with it, somebody else coming in and saying they want to put up a 4x8 temporary shelter in their front yard?
And I think it may be the height, too, more so than the length, footprint. Right? The footprint?
Well, yeah, I mean, the height of that would be less than 6 feet.
Yeah.
I don't recall ever reading anything about temporary shelters.
Yeah.
Either in the local or even in the state one. I don't recall ever seeing anything about that.
And I think that's it. Generally speaking, we probably wouldn't need to review it, that it's not a permanent structure. Sure. But I think Don just wants some assurance he's squeaky clean.
And that brings up the issue that now we're discussing is, you know, when is it too large to say, all right, this is getting out of hand. Mm. We're kind of floating this idea around without any guidelines. Shut up.
And the other piece of it is, you know, what does temporary mean? So you have your boat covered for the winter, and then you take it off and bring it down to the shore, you know, do you have to apply every year? I mean, that's, I think that's...
Per the building code, a temporary shelter is 30 days. And you're right, people buy Quonset huts and say it's a temporary shelter, and it's going to be there 20 years.
Yeah, Quonset huts, I think, are different.
That's not
a
temporary shelter.
Yeah, I mean, people live in those. I don't really...
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the inflatable garage, I mean, those are temporary, but it's like 10 years, you know, before they're worn out, you know. So I think a size...
Yeah, this is going to be there, and I don't want to get into playing games of, well, I'll move it to the other side of the driveway so that...
No. I'm just saying if we put a size on it.
Does planning and zoning have any restrictions on temporary shelters? Any guidelines on it?
I don't know. Building code does.
Building code does?
Building code does, yeah.
And do they have any size limitations?
I'd have to take a look. I don't know that they do.
Because I mean,
I know temporary building is
30
days.
When you talk about a temporary shelter, right? I think of like a shed in the backyard, or you know, not a, which I think is like a canvas cover for.
Canvas cover.
It has a metal frame, and actually the front wheel sits on the frame, so it doesn't blow.
Yeah. So I almost don't even think of that as a.
Yeah.
So you know, a temporary shelter that is approved by. Not planning and zoning, but
building department.
And is not addressed as an item in our guidelines, I would say there's no issue here. Mm-hmm. All right, it can't be so large that it violates the town's ordinances, and it's small enough so it fits in it, and there's no guidelines for us, so it's not an issue, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned.
And does shelter mean sheltering a person or something live, as opposed to just, you know, putting your bikes under
covered
a canvas?
Yeah.
You could just call it a motorcycle cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like what I put over my grill.
Yes, it is. You're probably, your grill is as big. Yeah. People's grills are as big as that motorcycle.
And,
some of them are.
I don't think there's an issue here.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't think it's an issue either.
Yep, I don't think
good. So. Next.
Next.
application 2507 136 Main Street, which is actually on River Street or River, is it River Street or River Road?
River Street, I think.
The plaque in memory of David Leff. We have reached that point. We're finally doing it.
Excellent.
Oh, River, he has River Street here. Oh, no. Jenny Reed is writing. River Street.
Any discussion, commentary, presentation? Anybody? Is this news to anybody?
How many years?
It's a 9x9.
Yeah, it turns out the price goes down significantly as you make it smaller.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, if it's in brass, instead of $700, it's $500 if it's 9x9. And it turns out that the mountain biker Dave plaque was 7x7, and it was 4 years old, and the two vendors pretty much charge the same. Hmm. Uh-huh. So, but first, let's continue our discussion, or do you just want to make a motion?
I would make a motion to approve the application with just the one caveat. Well, maybe it isn't, but the proposed location is the one shown in this drawing, which is the one that Kevin Witkos and the town approved. There was an earlier drawing that had it back here, so it would be on the face. It would be on the top of that curved.
Oh, it's going to be on the curved one, yeah. Because I said the
so
picture
right
that I looked at
it.
I wondered about that. I thought that's kind of an odd spot.
Yeah,
no one will see it, but
I just copied a file and sent it off.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think about
that's
it.
Fine.
So I would move that we approve it, you know, based on the application and the as it was submitted to the town.
Okay, is this is a town application, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, so it really should be an advisory only. Is that correct?
I don't know.
They you know
the town is exempt, so if it's a town application,
I suppose,
right, in which case we can't approve it, we can endorse it. Uh-huh. We can move to endorse it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if we applied for it, then we'd all have to recuse ourselves.
Right.
So that was that had Nathaniel just, his mind was blown when I brought that up to him. So this is Neil Page's solution.
Well, that makes sense.
I would move that we endorse the application.
Yes. I can second that.
Vote.
Well, all in favor. Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank goodness.
Now we
finally take
pay
that
for
off,
it, right?
Yeah.
The agenda.
Well, we want to get it done and installed. Let's talk about that a little bit. According to my wife, Sarah McCusker pointed out that Laureate is spelled wrong. I don't know if that's true or not.
What is spelled wrong? Laureate.
Poet Laureate. So we want to check that.
Okay.
And secondarily, when Kevin Witkos signed this, he said that he could get it funded through the firemen people and that he would get back to me last week. And I sent him an email today and I haven't heard from him. But first he thought that $500 wouldn't be a problem. And then he said, well, maybe $250.
Laureate has an E on the end of it.
Yep.
So,
and it doesn't matter whether
gender.
It's male or female.
Right.
I was going to say, does it have a sexual, you know?
Anyhow, I'm pretty much just planning on putting it on my credit card at some point, probably next week, and ordering the thing and we might all be on the hook for a bit of it.
Yeah,
that's fine. We discussed that. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we can do even amounts, or you can just donate whatever you want, but we'll see whatever Kevin comes up with. So that's one. Oh, and then as far as the vendor, the Mountain Bike Dave thing.
Who's Mountain Bike Dave?
That was that sample one that I found
I
put $40 into for 4 years ago.
Oh,
and
no,
it was only like 100.
Where is it?
It's in West Hartford Reservoir.
Oh, okay. That's why I've never seen it.
Was,
it
was, yeah, no, it was.
Who is Mountain? Okay, go ahead.
He's just a character that if you were mountain biking a lot, you met him.
Okay.
It's kind of a pirate installation. Anyhow, so there's two different things, but I'm more inclined to go with the person that Jerry had, because I believe you used that person and you've held the thing in your hands and you're very comfortable with that.
Yep.
And the prices are close enough that it doesn't, that I'd rather do something.
Yeah, that's what he does for a living.
Yeah.
Signage,
okay.
Architectural signage.
So
what about installation? Is that us or the town?
It's just adhesive.
You can do it?
Yep. We got it.
So, yeah, so.
I'll talk to the guy about what's his name again. Get that. It's just a tube, two-part epoxy or something.
So that'll get ordered, and then we'll make arrangements with the Left family so that the children can be part of this dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Yeah, not the installation.
Just no, there'll be.
We don't want them there when we're.
No.
Well, we should just have some sort of.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Maybe everybody read a little bit from one of his books.
Yeah.
Or something.
That's a nice idea.
Okay, ongoing business. Review and discussion of information to be posted on the CHDC website. So, Jerry has reworked the guidelines. How many people have read through this?
Was that from last week, last month?
This is the one from 1977, and then Jerry has gone through it, and he put that.
Well, I just don't know what, I don't have one that's, because I wasn't here last month.
Well, it was on, it's in your Dropbox.
It was in the packet that went out today.
It was in the packet, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in the packet for today?
Yeah.
Oh. I went through all that.
Okay.
No, I know, he just gave it to me. I didn't print it out, because I thought I printed out. This was an older one.
Yeah, well, that's next.
It looks so modern, Jerry.
That's next.
Updated fonts. And I thought I didn't print all of it because doing it in a different font made it so much shorter.
Yeah, it's not. That wasn't done on a selective typewriter either. You know. I got to admit, my wife
with carbon copies.
My wife heard
me
and her going.
So you took out try two.
She took pity in me. I mean,
I like try two.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't get very far through it, but there's a very big sea change right at the beginning in that it goes from guidelines to requirements, and that may be more of a lift than I'm comfortable with, but maybe
say,
not.
Can we require? We have the authority to require?
The reason I did that was because I looked at what it said, guidelines for construction and alterations to the council in the council historic district, and I thought that means this whole document is just a guideline. I think this document is a requirement, and there's guidelines in the document.
Mm-hmm.
Is the way I thought we should look at it. Because somebody could just, because guidelines is a recommendation or advice designed to provide direction or best practices or preferred procedures. It offers flexibility and isn't mandatory, allowing the discretion in its application. A requirement, on the other hand, is a strict rule. So I think this document is a regulation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are guidelines in this document.
But as a regulation, what is the statute that permits us to have regulations?
I don't know that there's a statute that says we can't. You think there could be?
Yeah, there's has to be an enabling statute that says that the committee can, you know, set regulations.
Okay.
Can set the law versus just, you know, guidelines.
I never thought about that. I could check town attorney. Can't get to him at all. Him or her. I'll have to check that to see if we can do that.
Because my other concern, I mean, for so many years too, there've been exceptions and whatever. Then you get into, you know, what's the basis for those? You know that. You know what I'm saying?
Not
if there
really.
Have been exceptions made to these, in other words, you're all of a sudden going to say, since the committee was set up or the commission was set up, there have been exceptions to the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're saying it's a regulation, and therefore, you know, it must be followed. So there's no.
But there's guidelines in these regulations.
Right.
Okay.
Like item two might be a guideline. But the regulate, but this document is a requirement. So that the document's
well, that's
not an argument.
The document is a requirement. See, that's different than having general. You have general requirements.
Yes. Those are from the Secretary of the Interior.
And do they use that word general requirements?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have design.
Is there a difference between regulations and requirement?
Regulations is usually something that's been, you know, promulgated and approved by some governing body,
right.
As opposed to just recommendations or guidelines or something like that. And usually you need some sort of an enabling statute
right.
to say this committee or this board or whatever it is you know, under the law, enabled to pass regulations.
The word regulation is not in here. The word is requirement.
Yeah, so what does that mean?
Is that the same thing as a regulation, or is it something less than that? If it's something less than that, and now I have an issue.
Mm.
And even in there...
Guideline versus requirement. A guideline is a recommendation on advice. A requirement, on the other hand, is a strict rule or standard that must be followed. Noncompliance can lead to penalties or disqualification. So I think when you start to have penalties.
But wouldn't having someone
or often form a part of a regulatory contractual. Well, I think what you've done in the past is just say it's, you know, like with that emergency hearing you had a certificate of noncompliance. That's it. And then what happened? You just voted over it, right?
Weren't we in fines on that as well?
Yeah, did you?
I mean, I wasn't involved in that because I didn't come that for you. You had a quorum, but.
Yeah, we can go over what happened there, but we don't need to do that now.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So.
So you don't think we need.
Well, you have to. I guess what I'm saying is, so you have to apply everything, if you're going to have it as a statute, so to speak. I don't know about requirement versus regulation. You're not using regulation, but requirement. You know, then, you know, you have to have everything this exactly the same. You can't say, well, you know, that looks good, and maybe it's okay, and you should do this. And you'd have to be very careful about everything has to be handled exactly the same.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I would read it.
Okay. Okay. Again, I was looking at it as the document's a requirement, but there's guidelines in the document.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you have here the purpose of the following guidelines, and then you say general requirements. Property should be used for historic purposes. Well, let me read through it.
I think we should revisit this next month when people digest it further.
Yeah.
because...
I'll tell you what I did basically. That was going to be a big change.
Yeah.
Okay, and then under these general requirements down here that are in italics, those are right out of the Secretary of the Interior Standards for Rehabilitation. That's where those came from, and I thought they read well. And backing up this under A general, that's right out of the original document. I thought that was written really well. 9-10 design. You can see where I've done some italics, and I've taken out all the try to.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good idea.
I think that's a good idea.
We got a lot of try to's in here, you know. When I tell my kids to try, my grandkids to try to, that doesn't mean a whole lot to them, you know. So,
right.
And then the other big change, you'll see. I'm going to put page numbers on here too. Is under B design, you got 1, 2, and then you under the last paragraph under 2, use of new materials. Avoid using. Avoid selecting new building materials which are out of scale, character, or otherwise present an appearance distinctively different from the original building. That is right out of our original standards. And then I crossed out likewise, avoid, if possible, use of materials that were not available at the time of the building's construction. I think we have to move ahead. I mean, you put a BASAC. You don't know until you tap on it whether that's real wood or whether that's
avoid flooding, storm, especially with like ornamental or decorative wood, artificial siding.
Has reissued that standard. They're open to new materials.
Vinyl siding all over the district.
I know it's mm-hmm.
And it's been approved for years. Vinyl siding.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you've got in here that it's now it's part of the requirements that you can't use any of those products. Avoid cladding doors, especially when ornamental, decorative, with artificial siding products. Retain and restore door and window trim, such as lintel sills, etc.
Where are you looking at? I'm
looking at page whatever. Not,
I
got to
get numbers on them. Yeah, sorry.
Trim and decorative features. See, when you take out try to, it becomes almost like you must retain and restore door and window trim, such as lintel sills.
Well, yeah, but you are supposed to retain it. I think that's the premise. When severe deterioration requires replace or reconstruct such features as nearly as possible to their original form. Avoid removing and cladding.
Oh, you're talking about this part up here, the cornice, brackets, and columns, not the door and window trims.
Oh, okay, door.
And I guess that's what I'm getting to is when it says requirements, it looks like the homeowner doesn't have a choice. Retain and restore.
Is the recommendation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a recommendation is different than a requirement or a regulation,
right,
is what I'm saying.
Right.
But if it's a recommendation, the application comes forward and they haven't followed it, do we just let it go because it's just a recommendation?
I think it's so hard. I mean, I think it has to be almost on a case-by-case basis, which probably drives a lawyer crazy. But, because we have approved siding in the district.
Yeah.
I mean, under door and window trim, that actually try to retain.
Yeah.
It does make sense for that one, actually.
Yeah. Well, it does. I was going to say, some of those try to or, attempt to, that's in one of the paragraphs that's off on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So, guidelines or expectations or, what was the other word I was thinking of?
Or the preference of the commissioner is that you will do
this. If you want a hierarchy of materials or practices,
well, I started to kind of do that under windows, but I do have down window replacement in order of CHDC preference is restore existing windows, replace sash imbalances with sash packs, thus retaining exterior and interior trim. install a new window with new interior and exterior trim to match existing, install a vinyl replacement window. Those are the preferences
in descending
yeah. order, yeah.
Okay.
But it's, I did
you know,
that
if
at
you
the
read it as a general requirement, I'm going to tell a David Leff story. When I first moved here and I replaced my windows, he said I had to have wood, and I spent a lot of money. And then I find out people have vinyl windows all over the place.
Yeah.
I was really ticked.
Yep. Yeah.
I really was. Mm-hmm. Now I've got them, so that's nice, but mm-hmm. you know, they cost me a lot of money.
They mm-hmm. do cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had a lot of windows. Mm-hmm. So
but I don't think a lot of people know about sash packs. That keeps the interior trim, it keeps the exterior trim. You take the sash out and you put in insulating tracks and new sash, operating sash. And so you keep everything that's original and just put in new glass and new frames around the glass and stuff. A lot of people don't know those exist.
No.
They come in a little pack.
You move in and you don't know. And that would be one of the advantages if we do finally get around to, you know, sending stuff out to the people in the district
yeah.
or having some meetings about it or... Like your advice to Dennis tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people need, too.
Yeah.
I think people want to do the right thing, but you also, you know, can't spend a fortune
mm-hmm.
When it might not be necessary or somebody else is getting approval to do something differently.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you run into problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like why was the house down the street allowed to use, you know, vinyl siding?
Mm-hmm.
Or put in vinyl windows, and others weren't, you know? And I've heard from other people that they have that complaint about,
mm-hmm.
or had it about the commission.
Mm-hmm.
So so I get concerned about this, you know, requirements.
Okay.
As opposed to, like, preferences or...
Expectations.
Expectations yeah. or... you know, whatever, using something that's less legal.
Mm-hmm.
Less
I don't know. I
preferable.
Don't know that we've ever had anybody come in and say, these don't mean anything. I don't have to follow these. I don't think anybody's ever done that, have they?
So they haven't come in here and said it, but they've said
What's that?
Have they said it outside? Yeah,
oh, probably.
They have. Yeah.
That's why maybe making requirements isn't really all that necessary, you know.
Yeah, it makes it sound, you know, like, I guess I was thinking, you want this to be, everyone wants to keep the character the way it is, and what do we need to do that? That,
mm-hmm.
that this, you know, we want to help people do it and
mm-hmm.
keep the area the way mm-hmm. we'd like it to be without people feeling like they're getting, you know, the gavel over their head, like you must do this, you must do that, and if
mm-hmm.
you don't, boom.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I sort of felt that way when I first moved in, and I was.
Uh-huh.
And that was with these documents, or with that other document?
Well, I didn't even, honestly, I just, you know, David came over and he said, you have to do this and you have to do that. And I was like, okay.
Okay. Well, okay. Look,
which
I think
was a little different. I should have gone back.
No, you can get him to back down.
Huh?
You could get him to back down.
Well, it's too late now, right?
Yeah, no, it's too late now. No.
You can't less of an argument now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And put that on the plaque, too.
Yeah.
P.S. Yeah. Anyway.
What's the thing with the dormers?
With the dormers?
Yeah, crossed out. Under five windows... Dormers.
Those fell under. Those fell under additions, I think.
So it's in a different place.
I think so. Because it didn't really. See, avoid creating dormers and roofs where there would be an inappropriate for storage integrity of the building. Try to retain those dormer windows. I did this, a couple months ago. I got.
Yeah.
we
don't
go back
expect you to have it memorized. Yeah, put it.
So it's crossed out because you thought it was somewhere else.
I think it was.
As opposed to getting rid of it altogether.
No, 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 no. Yeah, no, okay, no, no.
That was my question.
Yeah, no, it's important to have something in there about dormers. Yeah. But I got to see where they were, went. I apologize. Something else that I did here was, let's see, it was... Anyways, yeah, people could just take a look at it. And have some more comments next month.
Yeah. Okay, town website attachment, that's still not up. That's this. And as far as I can tell,
I was wondering how we're doing with it.
He said he was out of town and he hasn't had time to deal.
All right, so this will replace the original... what's on there when you go to the website. That's my understanding.
Who's out of town?
Neil.
Oh, he is. Neil,
he said he had been out a good bit of the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have that document that I did?
That's this one.
Yeah, but I'm going to give it to Neil when you give him the photos, or however you're going to do that.
I don't have that. Or maybe I do have. I'm not sure if I have that. I'm still waiting on a little more information, and I needed to get your stuff. I also got from him.
Nice stuff.
Sent me a
list. Did she point
at
you? Oh, you.
Because we wanted to go back further and try to capture all of the applications, and I think that's going to take a little time. But he did give me a list all the way back to 2017 that I can input all of our applications as far back as 2017. And then maybe as we get closer to the Christmas holiday and things are a little bit slower, we can run those older ones, which is what I did with my batch last year when I was working on it. It was very quiet. So we can then try to get those other years and just get that added in. But I can go ahead and get that list that he sent me. It doesn't have, like, if we approved it with conditions or some of alternate recommendations, it doesn't have that information, but it at least has the application, what it was for, and that it was approved or rejected. So we at least have that basic information. I don't know that we can get any more detail unless we pulled, like,
minutes,
all the minutes, and went through the minutes, which is what I did through 2022.
That's a lot, yeah.
But that was all that was on the website. It was back through 2022.
Okay. Yeah, it is a lot, but we did find out on that 49 Maple that would have been handy to know that.
Right, yeah, and I guess when I think about, because I had put together that spreadsheet of all the properties where we can just track it meeting by meeting and then kind of quarterly go in and update that actual slide deck. I should probably make some adjustments there to include some of those details, not just the approved, but actually what stipulations were. That way we're not having to dig through documents again. We just have it ready in there. So we'll work on that.
Okay. New commissioner's introductory packet. Is that finalized?
Yep,
we can take it off this.
I sent you the final letter. I guess, Jerry, that just needs to go, right? Like, are we going to post that on the website, too, or are you just going to use it to send if we get another
commissioner? You should just use it to send when you get a new person on.
Okay.
Don't you?
I suppose.
Well, either way, it might be good to have on the website if somebody's wanting to join. They can...
Yeah,
see what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, what's involved? If I feel like I want to join this commission, what's involved? May as well have it online so you can take a look.
Yeah.
This is what the expectation is going to be.
And then it's organized in a single place, too, so people can access it. New commissioners can access it.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, it's old business. Finalize inventory of Collinsville historic structures, et cetera. Is that what you're saying to Kent?
Yep, and I'll go ahead. So when you get me the photos, I'll get those other things that they just gave me in that report today. So maybe next month we can have a deck to just hand over to them as a final deck, and then we'll just plan to update it quarterly with whatever comes in.
Now, last month I had a draft letter of somebody who was maybe out of, was not maintaining the property, and we all read that, and having slept on it a month, I'm ill at ease to send that out, just until we have some better strategy as to how to better deal with that and do it in some sort of positive and helpful way rather than just your property is in bad shape, yeah. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had that same unease. I don't have a solution for it, but I share that unease about sending out a letter to a property owner saying, you know, your property is looking a little shabby. And somebody's been by.
Yeah, no, yeah. That property got.
Yeah,
they it's not it. Occupied.
No, but they've cut down some of the weeds. Yeah. And stuff.
Which house is that?
Next to the church. Not 11 Center Street.
The one on Center Street?
Yeah.
The Mortimer?
Yeah.
Does he still own it?
Yeah.
So do we not have anyone that functions like a codes kind of inspector? I mean, I lived in a city, so we had codes inspectors, and if they didn't like how your yard was looking, you got fined for it. You got a letter first, and then you got fined. Like, do we not do that in
housing code?
Towns
have tried to pass those, what do they call them, blight statutes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they have not been.
So there's no one, basically. I mean, I'm
basically people like call the selectmen and complain or something.
Okay.
You can do things like put your motorcycle in the front yard.
Get away with it.
I know my HOA is always writing us up for stuff.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And use the excuse you can't get to the backyard. You piss your neighbor off, you know? But no housing code, no blank codes.
So there's no one that's actually like sending a letter saying we're concerned. Yeah.
Nope. Nothing in zoning about it. There's nothing like that.
And I guess we'd have to figure out, like, what are we legally required to do?
Correct. Right. What's our threshold?
Right.
Does it become a danger if it's, is that a, you know, because it's been empty for years.
Yeah.
Well, the building code says it has to be secured so nobody can go in and out of it. So the windows should be boarded up. Sometimes they just put a 4x8 sheet of plywood over every window and it's cockeyed. And it says,
oh, that's even worse.
And it's worse.
At least
some towns have a requirement. It's got to be fit just the window itself. It doesn't cover the casings. It's got to be painted black, you know, that kind of deal. But the fire department, the fire marshal gets involved with vacant buildings so that they're secured. And like they did at the tarp house up on... whatever that was.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The Russell bought.
Yeah.
The people are going in and out of it, so fire marshal gets after them.
Okay.
Well, it should be secured.
It's probably locked, but I don't know.
And that's really the only entity. The building department doesn't go into it. The fire department has to be able to maintain access, and so if there's weeds and there's shrubs,
well, there's trees
stuff
starting
growing
to
up,
grow in the driveway.
Yeah.
Well,
because it's
cracked. Maybe the fire department could get after them.
They're big bushes, I should say.
Yeah. But just within the last week, some of those have gotten cut down.
Oh, have they?
They're lying dead
in
the driveway, but they've been cut down.
Yeah. But what we're trying to do is make sure things don't deteriorate to such a level that they have to be demolished.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not really a lofty goal.
And I had sent you an email, like, going through just what we had for all of the properties that we looked at. I want to say there were maybe six of them that were identified as being at a C.
Oh, really?
I just sent it late this evening.
Oh, okay.
Before we came here,
right.
That were identified as being a C. We had one that's in foreclosure, so I had that as one to monitor, and I think we've got one that was under demolition. But there were some that were considered C's that if, you know, we wanted to come up with some way to approach them. There were a handful on there.
One thought I had, and this is a roundabout way, so he has to do a bunch of other stuff first. But Kent had talked about having this brochure or something. Mm-hmm. And if that got distributed to everyone, and we had a little line in there that we inventory the buildings and, yeah, you know, keep our eyes open in case of deterioration. So that at least there's kind of a general forewarning to everybody that you may get some pink slip or something. Maybe a gentler way to do it.
Well, and I think if we want to take the approach of being helpful, some of the things we were talking about this evening, we could kind of point out ways that we've helped other people, whether it's finding an alternative way of repairing something or recommending a different type of material that's not as costly but still meets, you know, what the expectations are of the district. I think if we can send something out or get something to them that kind of appeals to, that's what we're here for. If you don't know what the solution is, come talk to us about it. Know that we've got the experience and the skills on the commission to be able to try and help you come up with some solutions.
Can we just ask them to come in for a consult? And we can sit down with them because they might.
We could suggest it. We could suggest you come in for a consult.
They might think we have to put wood windows in, you know. Right. And I don't have the money for wood windows, so I'm not going to come in. But if they come in, we tell them there's alternates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get a dialogue going so that they're not
right. So they're not afraid of us. Yeah.
Historic commission, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of putting out something saying, you know, if you have any questions about, you're going to be making some changes and you have any questions, you know, come to one of the meetings or contact one of the members and, you know, we can discuss it and give you some alternatives and give you some help. You know, we're here to help, not to just...
Yeah.
So, I think that would be very helpful, I do.
Next. Anything else on that? Okay, approval of minutes, July 8th, 2025.
I got your notes about the spelling corrections.
Oh, okay. That's
good. Hamilton is actually Hambleton.
Yeah, and Fitz.
John Fitz, F-I-T-T-S. Okay. I'll make those two corrections. Anything else?
Move the minutes be approved as corrected.
Second. Vote.
Aye.
Okay, the July 23rd special meeting minutes. My copy went off somewhere. It's two-sided. There's a back side with it.
Is this it? Yeah.
No, it's not the one I'm looking
for. I wasn't that either.
Anyhow, I believe that somebody in the, I forgot to tell somebody, I didn't know you were supposed to take minutes of a special meeting, but at the end of that, I wrote up, Jim Grant requested that I rewrite what the town sent us, and then I wrote a little narrative, which I told her was the minutes, and that was the secretary, or whatever you call that.
What, that Lisa person? Who's it?
Yeah, whoever the administrative officer's assistant. So I think she wrote those minutes.
Yeah. Okay. These are not our minutes. We didn't draft these minutes.
Right.
They're minutes of our meeting, but we didn't break them up.
Right. What I wrote up is, I did have it, but I don't know where it is. It might be in my office somewhere.
I was going to suggest something. The description of the new business is action to rescind the Collinsville sort of district violation. Now, remember, we talked, and then in the text below it, so the motion was made to revisit the violation. I think it should be very clear that this was not a rescinding of a violation. It was a revisit of a suspended review.
Correct.
I think that should be in the minutes to make sure that there's no... I don't want anybody to think that we are overriding an earlier decision that this commission made.
Agreed. And, and Steve, how did you say instead of rescind, you said we reviewed an earlier...
It's not a rescind of a violation. It's a revisit of a suspended
review.
Suspended hearing.
It was suspended for 20 years.
Yeah. But it was 30 years. The hearing was suspended. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what happened was the homeowner was serving in Iraq.
Oh, okay.
And somehow or another, the contractor just did the aluminum wrap, and there were several meetings, and finally the person's father said, look, he's not around. Can we just deal with this in 5 years?
Oh, okay.
And so 5 years came and went, and at some point, it was the non-compliance was put in the land records, but according to the species, they were never informed.
Oh.
So there was this big gap, and that was the
right. But like Steve said, we didn't overturn an earlier decision. We revisited later.
Yeah, we just decided that.
Yeah.
25 years later, pick up. Or
how do we make that edit to these minutes since we didn't write them?
Why don't you ask Lisa for the draft?
Can we rewrite it with that additional wording and submit it as our version of the minutes for that meeting?
Yep.
Sure.
All right. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of the spelling.
Oh, great. Great.
All right.
Okay, on to High Street Station Building. Believe it or not, there's an email from Bill Volowski, which I can read or summarize. I don't know which would be faster. But he and Bill Bessel are meeting with the Fletchers tomorrow. Hmm. And apparently the Fletchers have not been in agreement of what to do because this thing has been going on so long and it's taken some turns when all of a sudden they found out that they owe taxes. One of them didn't want anything to do with it. So now apparently they are happy going back to the original agreement of moving the building, and that puts everybody on the same page except the first selectman who continues to want to get the taxes. And that's anyhow.
How many years is that?
I don't know, four.
Years of taxes? 4 years?
Oh, no. Well, according to Bill Volowski, it's only 3 years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's a weird triangular piece of land that's probably not worth anything. So that's what's happening there. I don't know anything about the Collins Company redevelopment. And the Sunset Terrace, does anyone have anything to say about any of those other things? The Sunset Terrace Barn, I think I did call Richard Gleason in the month. He didn't respond. And I don't know what to say or do.
Yeah. And Jim Grant had come up with some solutions to stabilize it, right? Mm.
Yeah, and he apparently did do a little bit, but somewhere or another, I talked to Rand, and Rand's like, it's coming down before the winter.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. If he doesn't do anything, it's got to come down. And he's a nice guy, but he's not being proactively trying to solve this. Mm. I mean, I think he has other problems. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of at a loss.
Yeah.
And
there's so much we can do.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Well, that brings us to adjournment at 8:44.
Wow.
Sure.
So I move we adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Good night.
Good.